I thought I'd try and pick up a fairly critical point where the 13 years of exile, remember the deal was this, 12 years of exile, a 13th year for the brothers to be incognito, not find out where they were. If in fact they were during that 13th year, then in fact they would actually have to go back into the forest again and the 12-year period would run again. And so they would come now, we come in right at the time when the 12th year has come about. And Yudhishthira said to Arjuna, now is it the 12th year, we have to choose where we're going to go. Could you please choose some state that you think would be suitable to us? So Arjuna, he gave in some alternatives, three or four alternatives, and Yudhishthira liked the Matsyas. Now, the Matsyas were a very rich cattle country. If you look at India, rather like an inverted pear, take this north-central part where the Kurus were, the dominating Kuru nation. Under them, remember, the Panchalas. The Matsya were down, in fact, to the west side, the southwest. And so it was agreed they would go to them. And so Arjuna said to Yudhishthira, how will you disguise yourself when you go to the Matsya? And Yudhishthira said, I will be the gaming master of the king, can you believe it? In other words, he'd be a gambler himself. But as always in the Mahabharata, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. One thing happens and it fits into another situation and looks after another situation. When they were doing the visit to the sacred forts, third, fourth year in exile, one of the rishis, one of the holy men, had given him the boon that in actual fact, if he were to take on this job, it would be one that he could remain incognito and he could do very effectively. So he said, I'll call myself Kanka, I will actually befriend and go to the king and become his gaming master. Then he asked all the others in turn, he said, Bhima, what will you do? And Bhima said, well, I will actually be a cook. He said, I cook curries, I'm very good at making curry sauces. And he said, I'll also be a wrestler and an animal fighter, a gladiator, because it was still quite popular to fight animals and things like that as part of the sports. And then he went down to Arjuna. Now, this is a surprise. Arjuna said he would be a eunuch. Well, again, it fits into the pattern. When he spent the 4 or 5 years in heaven, he ran into a bit of choppy water. You may have heard Urvasi, the most attractive of the apsaras in the heaven. Well, she took a bit of a shiner to him, and she wanted to get a bit closer to him than he wanted to get to her. She said, well, now I think you know you're the most handsome man of this, that, and the other, you see. And he said, yes, I look upon you as my mother. And this. She said, my mother? So it went down badly. She said, I don't want a mother relationship, sister relationship. She cursed him that he would actually be a eunuch for a year. Well, it's a tricky one, but Chitrasena was the king of the Gandhavas. Remember the Gandhavas? They are those celestial beings. When we talk of a Gandhava, we think of actually singing, music, what have you, but they're also very powerful. They're warriors too. The Apsaras, they're the female aspect of the Gandhavas. Anyway, Chitrasena was a friend of his. They'd had a relationship in the past, battling and things like that. He said, well, I can arrange it that actually your year will be the year where you'll be incognito. So Arjuna said, I'll have earrings, I'll dress up, and I'll teach the young ladies, the young princesses in the court dancing. I can tell them stories and things like that. Going down to Nakula, Nakula said, I will look after the horses. I'll be the groomsman. I have a particular ability with looking after horses. For, it's one of the things I've done. I can train horses. I can break horses. If it's a difficult horse, then I can actually make him into a good horse. And Sahadeva, the youngest, he said, well, I'll be a cow counter. It sounds pretty mundane, but it's quite an important job. King Virata had something like 100,000 cattle, and it's very important to keep diseases away. All the calves should be multiplied as much as possible so the wealth could go up. So he had to spot diseases, he had to get rid of them, what have you. So he said, I'll be a cattle counter. Now, Yudhishthira said to Draupadi, he said, Draupadi, our sweetest, dearest wife, you respect, our sister, we did nice words about her. I cannot see what she's going to do because she does garlands and things like that. Well, it wasn't actually putting her down. What, in fact, he was saying was because of her being born in as a princess, she'd never done this because of her high birth, and therefore, what could she do? She said, I will call myself Sandri, and I will be a chambermaid. She had a certain ability to do hair, look after, things like that. he said, well, that's fine. It was agreed. And so they'd had a certain retinue with them. They had their chariots, of course. Two or three women looked after Draupadi. Daumya was there, the priest, a couple of cooks, were asked if they'd go back to Panchala. The holy fire was going to be taken there, and it would be kept alight there by Daumya. Daumya then said to them, because you don't hear much about him, he came into a bit of providence. He was there always, either the front or the back, anything needed from the Brahmin point of view, prayers before any action, so he'd be there. But on this occasion, Daumya was saying, you now will be going into the court as servants, and you must be particularly careful because there are normal, everyday political situations that will be coming up that you'll have to deal with. You should never sit in front of the king. You should never argue with him. You should never sit behind him because that's where the bodyguards are. If anyone's out of favor, you should not talk to them. All these, what we might say, common sense from the political point of view, he was telling them. It did go on rather a long time. Anyway, they dismissed their helpers, and they headed towards the Matsya country, quite a walk, and after about two or three days, they were beginning to see the cultivated fields, the paths making their way there a lot easier, and Draupadi said to Yudhishthira, I'm tired, can we not wait here a night or two, and then we'll go into the city the next day? And he said, no, he said to Arjuna, take her up, pick her up, carry her, and we'll go straight on. As they came, when they could see the edge of the actual city, they had to get rid of their weapons somehow. So they went to an area a little bit off the road. It was a cremation ground. And there was a great big sami tree, enormous great big SAMI sami tree. And they took their weapons off, they unstrung the bows, and Nakua automatically took them and put them up the tree. And he went, because it's a big, very difficult tree, it's a big tree, difficult to climb, and he went right into the center where the branches were, so when the rain came, they couldn't get there. So they bound them to the actual branches of the tree. And they found an old rotting corpse, and they hung the corpse there, and they told people, as they wandered on, they might see the old cowherd person say, oh, that's our mother we put up there. She died when she was 150. People live a lot longer then. 150, and it's part of of a tradition of our family that they should be hung in a tree in a situation near a ground. So they tried to cover themselves that way. As they came towards the city, then Yudhishthira gave them all separate, secretive names. There was something like, they all had Jaya in them, I can't remember all. It was Jaya, Jayata, and other names like that that they should have, and only they should know. Yudhishthira was the first one to go in, and the others waited behind. He had a long cloak, he had his dice, and his dice were gold face, ivory dice, with a deep red colour attached to them. He tucked them under his arm, in his armpit, and he put his cloak right round him, and he went into the court, and he was announced. The king said, King Virata said, well, who is this? Who is this lordly-looking person? Because the thing is, remember, these people actually, the brothers, have been brought up as royalty. They had a certain confidence and air about them that the king picked up straight away. And he said, you look like a king. Have you come here? Are you looking for my kingdom? And he said, no, not at all. I was the gaming master to King Yudhishthira. And I was a very close friend of his. So the king said, well, I love the gaming, certainly, and he accepted him as such. A little bit later, Bhima came in wearing black. He had a black unsheathed sword, and he got himself a ladle, he got himself a spoon, and again he entered, because he was an enormous fellow, he came and asked if he could be the king's cook. And the king said, well, you don't look like that. Are you a good-looking giant of a man like you? Are you sure you're a cook? He said, I am indeed, because I made many curries and sauces, and King Yudhishthira was very pleased what I did. And so he appointed him, but he made him the chief cook. Again, you can imagine, it wouldn't go all that well with the existing cooks, but the air understanding of these people was such that they could carry it off. Behind him, Saindriri, now this is a bit tricky, this is Draupadi. She put a black, very dirty cloak around herself, and she plaited her hair, in a sort of monoplat, and it came round the side here, down the right-hand side, very attractive, sort of flipped up at the end, a little bit flipped up. She put it round herself, and she walked around the street saying to people, I'm a little girl lost. She was walking around like this and saying, is there anyone who will employ me as a chambermaid and who will feed me? Well, most people, the way she talked in a cultivated way, and the way she held herself, didn't really believe her. But Queen Sudhasena, she was actually on the terrace of her house and looked down and saw this woman and said to her, bring her in and see what she wants. And when she went in, Draupadi said, you know, I have the ability, I can mix up sandalwood and mixes that women wear on their face and things. I can my hair, I can do garlands and things like that. I'm looking for the job as a chambermaid. And the queen said, well, you're far too attractive. And she was. This wasn't, I mean, it did work against her a bit. I mean, you know, she had long black hair, pretty well down to her bottom, and she had dark eyelashes, not dark eyebrows, but well-curved eyelashes, and sort of long eyes. You know, in the 16th, 17th century pictures, Indian pictures, the women order functional, royal dual, the eyes are very long and thin. I saw one once in an aircraft. I couldn't believe it. An Indian woman at the back with these long eyes. And she had eyes like that. And then she had the other beauty parts which you wouldn't think about. I mean, obviously, you know, her figure and things like that. They say that she had a waist like a sacrificial table. Well, she had a waspish waist. But also, she had flat heels. That was a beauty thing. But she also had a throat like a conch. Well, I give talks on Hinduism and Buddhism to school children, and one of my props are three or four conches. A big, hefty conch, a sort of warrior's conch. It's a pretty rough surface, knobs on it, so you wouldn't want a throat like that. And the little one I had, 6, 7, 8 inches about this thing, high-pitched notes, again, a very rough. So I think the throat really is the medium-sized conch that you often see in the pictures of deities, a nice, creamy finish. And also, she didn't have veins showing. All these bits and pieces, the queen said, you are beautiful in your makeup. The problem is the king will desire you more than me, and I can't take you on because of that. And she said, there's no fear of that, Draupadi said. I have 5 Gandhava husbands. Remember, we talked about Gandhavas, these celestial beings, and they said, I can dwell wherever I want as long as I'm not being given the scrap food off the table, and I don't have to wash the feet of people coming in. So the queen said, well, that's fine, I can promise you that, and she took her employment. The other two, Nakula. Nakula was quite smart. He went to the stables, and without being asked, he was looking at the teeth of the horses, looking them up and down, what have you. The king saw him do this, or rather one of the king's retinue saw him, and said to him, you know, there's someone nosing around your horses. He seems to know a lot about it. Nakula came in and said, you know, I was the groom to King Yudhishthira, and I'd like a job here to look after your horses. Again, he had that bearing, and the king said, well, you look far more, that's not your job, I'm sure. He said, I promise you it is. I was King Yudhishthira's groom, and I know what I'm doing. He was given the job, and the king took to him. He said, well, not only that, you can be my charioteer as well. Now, the final one was Sahadeva. Sahadeva went to the king and explained that, in fact, he'd been the cattle count to King Yudhishthira. King Yudhishthira had something like 100, 120,000 cattle himself when they had Indraprastha, when they had that part of the coronation. And the king again said, well, a young, handsome man like you, it seems strange, but nevertheless, if you know what you're doing, I'll put you in charge and see how you get on. So they all got their jobs. They were all settled incognito. After about 4 months, there was a big festival, international festival, wrestling or what have you. Bhima did particularly well. What they did, they arranged, Yudhishthira made quite a lot of money out of gambling, and he would share it with his brothers. Sahadeva used to give dairy products and things that'd bring to the family. Nakula had arranged a salary, a wage payment, and he'd share that. Draupadi kept in touch with them, and Bhima again would share what he got and his food and things and so forth. So it's really quite a settled situation until we came to about the 10th month. Then we had problems. Kichaka. Kichaka was a very strong, of the sort of frame of Beaver. He was the commander-in-chief of the forces of the Matsya nation. And he was the brother-in-law to the king. So he was the sister, Sudeshna, the queen. He was a bully, and he was a womanizer, not at all popular, but he had quite a heavy following. It was a bit like a subcaste. You know, I don't know if you have it in the UK. We have a lot of Patels. They're Vaisyas, and they're usually, especially in provincial towns, suburbs, things like that, they're shopkeepers, corner shopkeepers, small businesses, mini-marts, this sort of thing. Well, in fact, there was that sort of grouping of Kichaka. They were his sons, it was an extended family. So politically, it was quite a strong force within the kingdom, and the king had to take note of it. He couldn't just ignore them and say, oh, well, they're just a few people. Anyway, Kichata had a lot of power, and he'd actually been a very effective marshal, commander-in-chief of the forces, but he took a shine to Draupadi. He really fell for, he really lusted for. Very difficult situation, because he came to his sister's house and he said to his sister, who is this woman? Who is this beautiful woman? This is the problem, really, you see, because she had it with Joydrata. What Yudhishthira said about Draupadi, he said, she's not too big, she's not too small, she's not too dark, she's not too red, his words. But he also touched on that other aspect of wifeness, wifelihood, what have you. She could always organize things. She could organize bigger do's. She would always look after the husbands. She was always first up in the morning to get things ready. She was always last to bed at night after the servants had been cleared. When Subhadra and Krishna went to visit the Pandavas, fairly soon after they'd gone into the forest, Subhadra said to Draupadi, how can you keep the affections of your husbands? Because you have five of them, so you have so much to do. And she went through a whole ream of things. I sit them down when they come in, they wash their feet, I talk to them, I don't laugh and joke with their friends, I always see they have comfort, all this sort of all the stuff, great for us. Might not be quite the same thing these days for the girls. In other words, she had that other inner side to her. It wasn't just a physically, she was quite a remarkable person. Anyway, Kichaka got a shine to her. And he said, this is the one, I must have this one. And he approached her when they were actually at the queen's house, Queen Shudsina's house, and said, my beauty, I will take you. I want you to make you my wife. All my other wives will be servants to you. Can you imagine? She wouldn't have it. She said, anything happens to me, my five Gandhava husbands will kill the person concerned. Didn't make any difference to him at all. He said to his sister, you must make an opening where I can actually meet with her and get a closer relationship with her. Well, the queen said, there's a holiday coming up. I'll send her to you to get some of the liquor that you actually store. And so you can give her the liquor, filter it, bring it, and bring it back for the holidays that we'll be organizing. So the day came around, two or three days later, something like that, and the queen said to Draupadi, take this over with you and get the liquor from Jakarta. She said, no, I'm not going. You know the situation. He's trying to proposition me, and I don't want to go. She said, don't worry. I will see everything's all right. So Draupadi went over, very nervous about it. She prayed to Surya, the sun god, for protection. Surya actually gave a rakshasa, an invisible rakshasa, to stand by her, to be a guard for her. As she came into Kichaka's place, he's a bit of an old dandy. He put lots of smelly stuff in his hair. He garlanded himself. He put on fresh silks, really trying to make himself attractive. And he said, my sweet one, come in, all this stuff. And then he made a grab at her. She pushed him, got him off guard, and he fell over. And she rushed out, but he rushed after her to the king's meeting hall. Now, in the meeting hall there, he chased after her. He got her hair, he threw her down, and he kicked her. And there's Yudhishthira there, dicing. The king was there. Bhima, by chance, was there. This was a pretty difficult situation, because you know how Bhima is, irascible, wanting to really fire up and what have you. And she got up and said to the king, look what has happened. A suitor, remember, a half-caste, a suitor, so he wasn't a kshatriya, has kicked me for no reason at all. The court is very embarrassed, aghast at it. And she said, how can you allow this in your kingdom? The king really didn't want to know, because the king said, how can I make a judgment on this? How can I say anything? Because I didn't see what was going on. He didn't really want to know. Meanwhile, Bhima was seething, and Yudhishthira was near him. Fortunately, Yudhishthira got hold of his thumb and pressed it very hard like that, so to restrain him. And so, full of tears, Draupadi said, she made a bit of a swipe at Yudhishthira. She said, how can a woman in my position, who's got five Gandhava husbands, not gain any help from anyone at all, you see? Yudhishthira said, as a wife of heroes, you have to accept that there are going to be tribulations and problems in your life. Don't disturb us here. This is a gaming place for the king. In other words, you knew the king didn't want to get involved with this. Go back to your mistress. And obviously it couldn't have been that bad because your five Gandhava husbands would have looked after you. Well, she went back really, really very upset. She determined in herself how she could actually do away with Kichaka. That night, she went over to Bhima, where he lived actually in the kitchens. He slept in the kitchens too. Fast asleep, she embraced him, as they say, like a vine round a tree, and woke him up. And she said, I've been propositioned by Kichaka. She's very proud, so it's very difficult for her in many ways. And you see, she didn't have to be there. She didn't actually have to be in the forest at all. Takes Subhadra, the second wife of Arjuna, she went back to Krishna. Now, Draupadi could easily have gone back to her parents, the Panchalas. But she didn't. She stuck with her husbands. But she had this pride problem, and the fact that she'd been kicked by a suitor really, really hurt her to the core. And she explained what an awful situation they were in to Bhima, tears, and how that terrible elder brother had got in. All he does is sit there and think about nothing. It's his gambling had done it, and she censured him and so on. He went on for a long time. Each of the brothers, she said, Arjuna is like a fire that's spent. There's my Nakula and Sahadeva, those handsome young men, having to earn a wage. There's the king, Yudhishthira. He had 10,000 elephants that used to follow him. He had 1,000 maids in his kitchen that look after the Brahmins and everything. And now he's having to be a gambler and get his... And so this bit, quite like a lot. She said to him, do you want to hear what I want to say? Or do you not want to hear what I want to say? But even if you don't, I'm going to tell you. So she came out and said, I want you to kill him. He's propositioned me. It's terrible. I can't really exist. And often this comes up time and time again. If you don't, I'll take poison. How many times? Even Duryodhana, when he was defeated by the Gandhavas. Remember, he went in the forest when the Pandavas in the forest, really to embarrass them. He told Dhritarashtra, I'm going in for a cattle count. See how many cattle are, see where they are in the forest. But he didn't. He just wanted to stir it up with the Pandavas. And he went into the forest, and it's a territorial thing. Gandhavas were there, and they captured him, and he had to be released by Arjuna. He said, I'm going to kill myself. I can't do this. So a bit of pressure, and it's, I'm going to kill myself. Anyway, Draupadi is going to kill herself, take poison, if in fact nothing could be done about Kichaka. Bhima said, don't worry, do this. Arrange for a meeting with yourself, as if you're going to have a liaison with Kichaka. Do it in the dance hall, which Arjuna uses for his little girls, because it's not really guarded much at night. It'll be dark. After dark, invite him to come in and meet you there, and I'll be there, and I'll kill him. So the day went by, next day. For her, it's like a month. For him, it's time. He dadded himself up, all the smelly stuff, all his garlands, all this sort of stuff. Nighttime came, and Bhima got in there a little bit earlier. And there's a couch, big couch, in the room there. And he sat on the couch waiting, all huddled up. And then in came, a little bit later, Kichaka. Little cooey words, yes, my sweet one, he stroked him. As he stroked him, Bhima leapt up, grabbed his hair, and the fighting ensued. First of all, he got Bhima off guard. Bhima was so mad, he was shaking, that he got him off guard, and he went down on one knee. But as they say, it was like hitting a snake with a stick. He pounced up and grabbed his hair, and they were wrestling. After a while, Bhima sensed that he was actually losing strength. And so he grabbed into him, and he actually squeezed all the breath out of him. He actually completely asphyxiated and broke his body that way. But that wasn't the end of it. He got hold of Kichaka, and he actually physically pushed the extremities of the body into his trunk. So his head, his feet, and his arms all pushed into a mass of messy stuff. Anyway, sorry. He called over Draupadi and said, here you are, he is now dead. And of course, it was enormous relief for her. And he said, I'm going to go back now another way to the kitchens. And so for after a while, she shouted out, guards, guards, my Gandhavas have killed Kichaka because he tried to proposition me, you see. And all his relations, about 150 or so of the Kichaka family and clan were around, and there were guards. The guards were there too, had come to see this mass of pulp. They couldn't believe it. They'd seen Draupadi just leaning against one of the piers of the dance hall, and one of them had said, "That's her. It's going to be cremation. We'll take her along too. If he's not going to have her this lifetime, he can have her in his next lifetime." So Draupadi was taken along, strung up, and they went and saw the king, and they said to the king, "He's been killed somehow. The guard of her husband's, of Surendri, has killed her, and we want to actually cremate him and her." So the king said, again, he had political pressure. You know, the people at court have said this Kichata did the wrong thing. But anyway, he gave permission for it, and so the procession towards the cremation ground started. She was screaming and screaming, but she was screaming those unknown names that Yudhishthira had given them. Jaya, Jayata, and Bhima fortunately picked it up. The screaming of her, she was taken towards the burial ground to be burnt. And he got out of bed, he straightened up his clothing, he rushed out, and he pulled up a tree 7 or 8 lengths long, and remember that this was at night, and he rushed roaring towards the cremation procession. And of course, they see this monster coming up with a ruddy great big tree, and they all scattered like anything, but he went in amongst them. Remember the Ramayana, the main weapons were trees and rocks that the monkeys had. So use your tree, and it can be a pretty deadly weapon. And he knocked out, actually killed 105 of those followers in the cremation ground. And so when this happened, down there's 106 altogether. Kichaka, the big chief, had gone. Anyway, after that, she was let go. They said, "Let, for God's sake, let her go, because he comes there, guard her husband's, you see." So he went back. They went to the king again and said what had happened. And he said, "Put a great big ceremonial cremation mound. All of them must be put on it. All of them must be burnt at the same time. Put the finest herbs and finest perfumes. Of course, there'd be the ghee and all that sort of stuff, you see." So they prepared that. And the next day or two, when she was in town, no one would go near her. They were worried about the gaunt of her husbands. She'd walk around the street and everyone would disappear. And the king said, of course, you know, being the brave man he is, he said to his wife, he said, "Get her out of it. Make her leave her job. I can't do it. If I do it, I'm a man, and I might attract the anger of the Gandavas. So you tell her, the queen, Shudeshna, you tell her." And so Shudeshna said, "Well, you have to go. You go with the blessings of the king, but I'm sorry, you'll have to go." Well, when she said that, she said, "Give me 13 more days, please." And when the 13 days were up, because of how the calendar was made, it would have been the end of the 13 years. Because the calendar they had then was both a 30-day month, so in effect, you had an extra 2 months every 5 years and 5 hours and something like this. This comes further on when the attack comes from the Kauravas, on which we can talk about later. I think that should be the end of it. Thank you very much.